It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope your Labor Day went well. You getting through the short week, and here we are. There's a little bit of fall in the air. We got rid of all that 90-degree stuff, where we are anyway, and we're back into what I call seasonal weather, where it's in the mid-70s this time of year and gets down to maybe upper 50s at night. There's a lot of fall coming this way, and one of my favorite seasons of the year. But there's still a ton of time for grilling. But I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
It is that time of year. Thanks for joining us. And I want to start right off by saying in 2 days, it's going to be 22 years since the tragic Twin Towers and the attacks on the Pentagon and various things took place. And we don't want to forget all the people that lost their lives in that event.
That's right. And a lot of them are still suffering side effects from it.
Yeah.
That survived. So there's a whole lot of that going on. But we're forever grateful and indebted to those people.
So hustle time is on us, man. It's the windows closing for summer.
Yep.
And like anybody with a pool is getting ready to close it or have it closed. They've maybe already got it scheduled. I do my own.
Yep.
And as you do, probably.
I do. So, you're correct. Had to buy some new stuff this year. Needed the new winter cover, the safety cover, right, that covers it so the dog walks on it or something, doesn't fall in the water, one of those. So.
Uh-huh.
You know, just another $500. It ain't no big deal. Welcome to...
That adds up.
Owning a pool, yeah. Right? It's a hole in the ground in which to throw money.
I'm in the hole on firewood. I use a lot of wood for various things, and I have had enough other projects going. My deck, basically, this summer, it was almost a summer.
Well, it's a wood deck, though.
Yeah. Huge. So a couple days ago, I got my little hand grinder out with these cool sander pads that you can buy for it. Get them at Home Depot or wherever you shop. And I also rented a drum sander from the Home Depot rental place, and I sanded the whole thing down.
The whole one and what?
The whole deck.
Oh.
And replaced a bunch of boards that wouldn't
That was
come
this
nice.
Summer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had these little spots where there was still some stain or paint. Or that thing's been 5 different colors.
Yeah.
So right now it looks like a brand new wood deck, and... next week, I'm going to be putting that concoction of linseed oil and mineral spirits on it to seal it up and
for the
see
winter.
If my work pays off or not. It's,
yeah.
It's not a long shot. It's just from researching companies that make deck sealers and seeing what they're putting in it. And so I'm using some of the ingredients. The water seal companies don't seem to last very long, so I'm trying to up the oil content and see if I can't get by with just sealing it twice every 2 years. But it's that time of year when you start getting, if you're a deer hunter, you're getting your food plots in. I'm personally going to spruce up a couple blinds. Going to take some work.
So tell me about food plots. It would seem to me that here we are on the, you know, second week, 9th of September, you're going to want to hunt over those things in October. Are they going to grow that quick?
Well, actually, yes. You put the winter wheat in or rye. If you plant it in August, it's too hot and dry. It won't do anything. But right now, we're starting to get the rain, and now's when it'll take off. It's still warm enough by mid-October, early November. You've got some pretty decent greenage there. So.
Okay.
And right. tulips, turnips.
Yeah.
They like those. So it's a good time to plant turnips.
Okay. Seems late to me, but I'm not a food plotter, so I don't know.
Well,
it just seems like a turnip would take it a few months to mature to where there's something they could eat.
Yeah, well, it grows for a long time underground, so if they don't eat all the greenery off the top.
I see.
But also get your bow out and start practicing.
Yeah, I've not done that yet. I walked by it this week and thought about that, but I didn't take it out of the case, and I didn't fire it up yet.
Well, it might not matter,
right? If you don't go hunting,
right?
Yeah, yeah. But I do have the Shartucky hunting camp scheduled.
Yeah, and I know, but so I'll be, you're kind of like chief cook out there. I don't know that your bow even travels with you.
No, it doesn't. But I often cook venison when I'm down there, so I'm halfway in the game, right? And there's techniques to that. I think I'm going to revert back to the full on brisket and butts and chicken. When I go down there, years past, I've varied from that. I thought maybe people were getting sick of it because, you know, we go to the same party every year. And so I haven't done
Look forward to it, actually.
I haven't done any of that in the last couple of years. We've done pizzas and we've done, I think I took my griddle down there last year and stuff. So I'm going to go old school on them and do a couple briskets and some butts and just take them down.
Then you'll get invited back next year.
You're right. Yeah. For something different, right? Yeah. But I did a couple barbecues in the last week. I support some charities, so I had to do one of those, and then I did another little one. But I used one of them wanted skinless, boneless chicken thighs as one of the proteins. And there's a I did a teriyaki type marinade. Bought some just commercial teriyaki sauce, and I thinned it a little bit because it was kind of syrupy. A little bit, and I thought a little too sweet, and I thinned it with Worcestershire a little bit. And there's a little bit of acid in Worcestershire.
Yes,
and
there
it
is.
And it softened my meat a little more than I wanted to, but it firmed up when I took it out of the marinade and I overnighted it, and that might have been the issue.
What muscle was it again?
It was just the whole pork loin is a bone-in pork loin that I did. Excuse me. That was a different cook. The chicken. It was skinless, boneless thighs that I put on this teriyaki marinade. They wanted chicken, and it just seemed a little bit soft, but they were okay when they cooked up. So my thought was that there was maybe a little too much acidity in that when I put
put Worcestershire in a teriyaki recipe?
Yeah, just to thin it out a little bit because I thought it was a little syrupy, the stuff. It's called Mr. Yoshida. It's a commercial brand. I buy it in gallon jugs because the flavor profile is really good.
Mm-hmm.
But this one just seemed a little thick, and I wanted it thinner for the chicken. And, you know, I just throw it in a big 2-gallon Ziploc bag and put it in the fridge overnight with that in there. And they turned out great, but it was just an experiment that I think worked out okay in the end. But
what I've done with that recipe before is I've used a little rice vinegar.
Oh, okay.
It's really a cool profile, and it would match the flavor profiles that come with that teriyaki.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yep.
At least you'd have your ethnicity right.
Right, yeah, right, yeah.
You wouldn't be throwing Bulgarian in with Japanese.
I served it as confused chicken is what I was calling it.
Merc.
Yeah, right. But anyway, I amuse me. But
you amused us all.
Right.
That's all this show is for, really.
Well,
we don't claim to really know a lot, do we?
I think if you've ever listened before, that's a clear answer.
Conrad will call BS on it.
Right, yeah, right. But that's all you can say is BS, because if you,
he'll complain to you.
Then he whines that he has to go through the show and bleep out words.
I had to put
words
a beeper on your naughty language. Yeah, right.
I did.
We're naughty.
Watch it. Slackers.
We got the hallway monitor here.
Right, yeah.
Do you have a pass?
Need to see that pass.
I've
been looking for the principal.
We were putting in detention when we first got here. It was like, start me all beat down.
Oh, yeah, the spitball fight. Yeah,
yeah right.
Yeah. He put up his guard. He still got the plexiglass guard up.
Yeah,
so.
It does. Spit guard is what that is. But anyway.
Well, so today we're going to talk about the ultimate outdoor cooks that are going to be on. And it was, you know, we always try and come up with a reason to make some poignant thought or concept in the show. And since I usually write the shows, this was the best I could do, is the ultimate outdoor cook. Because this time of year, I find myself doing a lot more outdoor stuff. And very often I'm at a fire pit. I'm at a somebody's grill or smoker. And it's like, what kind of things can we bring to our audience? Excuse me. Mm-hmm. In regards to that type of cook.
Well, there's lots of things that we can do, and we're going to cover them in the next few segments, whether it's a tailgate, whether it's like me going down and cooking for a bunch of people that are on a fall party. You know, if you're at camp, there's you might be cooking over open fire. You might have some of your tools with you. You might have all the luxuries if you're cooking at somebody's house and you can bring all your equipment But the cool part is that there's a lot of options, and this is the time of year when we're going to talk about them, because tailgates are a variety of stuff, and everybody's a potluck. Sometimes coordinating that is an issue, too. But
hey, go.
You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the body, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat some more.
Welcome back. You listen to the grilling guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. 9-9 today. Wow. This month is already flying by. I think with the Labor Day weekend being 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the, it kind of didn't even happen for me. You wake up and it's the 9th of September, months, but this is only a 30 day, so we're a third of the way through, and it's like, wow, what happened? And
that's kind of how my life is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
More than a third of the way through.
Yeah,
unless I live to 180.
Right. Yeah, that ain't gonna work for me either. That isn't gonna work for me. But fall is in the air. I think that if you've listened to the Grilling Guys over the years, I think worth mentioning, we are in our 14th year now. We've started here in September. Thank you.
That's
for
a lot of lying, man.
That's right. Yeah, and a lot of repeated stuff, but hopefully you haven't been listening to all the shows all 14 years.
Or hopefully you all have and you just want more.
Right, yeah. Or if you're like us, you just forget, so you got to say it again.
So the tailgate cooks are coming with all the tailgating, and I mean, this time of year, football, it's inevitable. You're going to go to some tailgate parties, and I just thought that maybe prepping and the gear you need for tailgating would be a few things to talk about. Because it kind of depends on where you tailgate and what you want to bring to your guests.
Right.
Now, the easy way is just to cook stuff at home and bring it warm.
Right.
But I think it's more festive if you can whip out a grill at the tailgate.
Oh, yeah. And I have, for my work, we're doing a Michigan State tailgate. And we do it when it's in East Lansing because the people that organize it are Spartan fans, alum, and they want to do it there. And it's a little easier than doing it in Ann Arbor because they've got connections and places to park.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, this is a full-on bring all the equipment thing. And
how are you going to get away with that? I thought they poo-pooed it.
No, it's you can't
bring hire a catering company.
Well, you have to hire one there, but you can bring anything you can carry in. You can't bring it in on a trailer behind the vehicle. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. First and foremost piece of equipment is, everybody's seen these little collapsible carts like they have them by the beach or wherever.
Wagons.
They're wagons. They've got fabric sides and bottoms, but maybe steel frame that collapses down or whatever. I've got two of those. Each one of them holds 300 pounds. That's what they're rated for. So I got the big sturdy ones, and I popped those down. And this year, I'm going to bring the pizza oven. Obviously, a new piece of equipment in my repertoire for this summer. We've been having a lot of fun with it. And so went over to Garrett's Appliance, got this pizza oven called a Gosney. And I've been working with it all summer, and I think I got it perfected. It's propane or wood. I'll obviously do propane at the tailgate. But the oven heats up, and the magic of this thing is that it heats the stone in the bottom, and that's where the thermometer is. Mm. So when the stone gets to 700 degrees, and it'll go to 1,000, but 1,000 is too much. It burns everything. But if I'm at about 650 or 700 degrees, this, you slide it, and it makes a 12-inch pizza.
So do you have a big pizza spatula?
Yeah, I've got, and that's one of the things I was going to talk about is I got four of them now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes you longer to build a pizza than it does to cook a pizza right. in this thing. It's literally about 60 to 75 seconds, and you got to turn it a couple times.
So do you put cracked corn on it before you put your
dough down? No, cornmeal maybe.
Yeah.
I've been using a kind of a flatbread pizza crust rather than a raw dough. I've got a baker. My daughter-in-law's father owns a bakery, and he makes flatbread pizza crust for me. They're maybe a quarter inch thick, and they've been baked for 2 minutes already. And he brings them to me in an oblong about the shape of a loaf of bread, but only a quarter inch thick, okay?
Mm.
And he par bakes these things, and then he freezes them for me in packages of 10. And you pull them out, thaw them, put them in there. They're crisp and great in that 60 to 75 seconds. And the
so
heat
they're pre-cooked when you get them?
Yeah, 2 minutes all.
Somewhat.
Somewhat, yeah. And he runs a perforator through them so that the heat comes up through and cooks all the ingredients. It's really a cool thing. But anyway, if you don't have those, regular pizza crust would work, but it just takes a little bit longer because it's
raw
dough.
Or you can go up to Han Bakery up in Greenville.
Right, yeah, okay. And buy them because he sells them. And, but anyway, I've got it perfected. I mean, we've done a half a dozen pizza parties where over the holiday weekend, last weekend, I did 26 pizzas in one night. And we just had a bunch of people over, and they kind of
fed
them
twice. That's a lot of cheese.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. And but the cool part is to the tailgating point, is that prep is the key. You can't use raw meats on something that only is in there 60 to 75 seconds.
Right.
Right? So
well, here's the other cool thing about what that is. That's a gas appliance.
Right.
So you don't have a bunch of coals to deal with when you're done.
That's right. It does take
it's
a while to cool
hot,
down.
Still yeah. hot,
yeah. It takes a while to cool down, but it is transportable. It's, you know, three little legs. It's a cool little deal. But prepping the meats, obviously pepperoni, you don't need to. Ham, you don't need to. But, you know, I dice the ham rather than use thin slices, pepperoni or pepperoni, but your sausages, right? If you want chorizo, I'm going to talk about a little Mexican pizza recipe.
You want to brown that.
Right, yeah, you want to brown it, you know, breakfast sausage or any kind of pizza sausage.
Italian,
yeah. You want to brown
which
all that
which is easy.
Stuff. Yep, chicken. That's another one that the family has been real, real interested in is chicken on their pizza. So
and white sauce then?
Yeah, or red, but mostly white. Yeah, but it's a we did a Mexican pizza where we took black beans and pureed them with a little bit of garlic olive oil to make it a paste, and that's the base for the pizza. And then we took chicken that was cooked, jalapeno peppers, and chorizo sausage, and then put the cheese over the top and
no
that.
Limits, man. The right. rules are gone.
They are. And
you know what you're going to do, you potlicker?
What's that?
You're going to talk about this stupid thing till I go and buy one, aren't you?
Right. Well, you know, I'm telling you, you would enjoy it because you can feed
I'm
a lot of people.
I'm trying not to eat pizza.
Right. Well, you know, but there again, the cool part about this is you control the ingredients. What do you want on the thing? And so it's just been fun. I mean, I don't want to beat this horse too dead, but at the end of the day, great tailgate option.
Barely dead.
Right. It's a great tailgate.
It looks
option.
A little, how do I say this? It looks a little like the legs are, you know, like it would fall over easily.
Not at all. They're stainless steel and they lock in place. They for transporting, they fold in half and then fold again underneath the oven. The oven's a dome. It's about maybe 16, 18
is
inches
Is it a
deep.
Tabletop thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then the gas unit kind of hooks on the back. You stick it up in and give it a quarter turn. And then the burner unit is on there, but it disassembles.
So it takes the little
travel.
Green tanks?
No. Mm-mm. Hooks right to the 20-pounder.
Oh.
Yep. Hooks right to the 20, but it sips gas.
Yeah.
It really doesn't use a lot of gas at all.
Right.
But it's very portable.
Oh, doggone it. Now I got to
can you put something
one.
That hot on your table without your wife yelling at you?
Absolutely, because the legs are like a foot long, so it's up off the table. And it's just sitting there on a tripod, three legs.
I think his wife yells at him.
I think he's worried about the yeah. pizza oven falling off.
You see him kind of wince a little bit, like he's going to get hit?
So the legs are a foot long.
Right.
And then so it's like a, I don't know what.
It looks like something from the Jetsons.
Right.
Okay? It's got this kind of teardrop, kind of rounded shape. It's futuristic looking. But kudos to you, man. That's a... That was a one thing you didn't have.
Right. But the other, you know, there's other uses for it, and we'll cover those at another time.
Sure,
but
we will.
But it's designed to be a pizza oven, but you can char and sear and do a lot of stuff in there because it's such a hot surface.
Good. I got a question for you.
All right, go ahead.
When we get back.
All right. So coming up next, we'll get out of Italy and the pizza ovens, and we'll get back into the backyard and the camp and start talking about things. But, hey, you'll like the pizza oven. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Now hit me.
Oh, yeah. The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. Sorry, got off on a little pizza oven tangent there in that last segment, but we'll get her back on the trail here. So.
You're forgiven. You're forgiven. We're going to turn this into a really nice spot for Garrett's.
Right, yeah.
Because that's where you got it, right?
It is, yes.
And that's
absolutely
where I'll be going now to get one. Thanks right. a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome. But
I got a question for you, though. You know Reese's Peanut Butter Cups?
Yes.
I think the company is called Reese's, because when I go into the supermarket in some of the cool little foreign food sections or where you find artichoke hearts and stuff that, there's a brand called Reese's Artichoke Hearts, and it looks like the same logo.
Right.
Now, they have one series that is called Marinated and Grilled.
Oh.
Dude, if I open a jar of those, they'll never make it to the food. They're so good. You'll just start plucking them like, you know.
Yep, the artichoke
do you do
heart.
That with olives when you open a jar of olives?
Right, yeah.
It's like you just start nailing them before you even do any cooking. Well, it's called Reese's, and they're called Marinated and Grilled, or Grilled and Marinated.
Right. But artichoke hearts.
And they're blackened a little bit.
Yep.
I'm telling you, the flavor, whatever their marinade is just right. It's very mild, but a little vinegary. And I think the grilling, what they do, makes it just like picture perfect. And so what I do is I take my ulu, Alaskan blade, and I chop them into small pieces and put those on pizzas.
Yeah.
Put them on all kinds of things, honestly.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what, people that like artichoke hearts are thrilled to see those beauties on top of their pizza.
There again.
Your chicken pizza with the white sauce, or if you do like the Flat River Grill has one that's it's named after a drink of sorts, margarita pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically sautéed marinated onions and artichoke hearts. I think mushrooms would be a great addition to that. And then chicken. And then a provolone and mozzarella.
Yep.
So good.
Yep.
Speaking of mozzarella, we went over to my son Jordan and his wife Allie's house the other day. And Allie, they buy their milk from a farmer. They buy raw milk.
I saw that. I saw him do a post on that.
Yeah, and so they've always got a lot of milk. They drink a lot of milk. Two kids now. And so as soon as her milk is like a day or two old, she's making sure it's gone. And if not, this Allie, she's talented. She makes mozzarella cheese.
Oh, yeah. Yep, whole milk.
And she made us lasagna the other night with that homemade mozzarella. I love homemade mozzarella cheese.
Yeah.
It's nothing like the stuff you buy.
Oh, right.
It's so flavorful.
Yep.
Because mozzarella can be kind of boring. Anyway, weekend camp food. Something some people like to do for the weekend is just take something they have to warm up. And one of my favorite things are pasties.
Yeah.
And I know you're not so big on them, but our family, I mean, people who are pasty freaks, we'll do a lot to get a hold of a good pasty because there's a lot of not so good ones out there.
So tell us what a pasty is for those that don't know.
Well, It's pie crust. They come from Cornwall, England. The miners' wives made them with a pie crust, and they'd throw chopped up potatoes and meat and vegetables in there. But the real Cornish one is rutabaga, potato, carrots, and meat. Now, my father's farm in the UP, they used venison, potatoes, rutabaga, and onion. Yep. And they all grew up on pasties, and we all grew up on pasties. In Saranac, Michigan, if you look at the Grillin' Guys website, go to thegrillinguys.com, look over to the right, you'll see all of our sponsors. Vicky's Pasty is no longer a sponsor, but we love that place so much that we just keep them on the board because we like to celebrate good businesses.
Right.
And it's right downtown Saranac.
Which is a block long, so you can't
miss
it. Yeah,
it's just east between Lowell and Ionia, if you know where that's at. But those guys work so hard in there. It's a labor of love. That's the closest thing to a Western Upper Peninsula pasty we've been able to find down here.
Right.
And that's because Tony, the dad, is from Iron Mountain. So that's the western side of the UP are a little bit different pasties. Eastern side, you know, they're not so much rutabaga. They substitute with carrots, and that's like putting gravy on one. It's just wrong.
Or ketchup.
No, ketchup is the...
You gotta have ketchup.
Yeah. And matter of fact, what they do is they make a pasty ketchup in the UP, and it's basically ketchup with a little hot sauce. So I'll usually take a bottle, a half-done bottle of ketchup, and I'll put some Cholula in it, and I'll shake it up.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So go to Vicky's Bridge
those
Street
are,
Pasty.
Those are great because you can just heat them up, or you can bring them heated up in a pan, you know, little insulated carrier. And
yeah. You can pick them up right at Vicky's and then put them in a cooler and take them to your thing, and they'll be piping hot because when they pull them out of the oven, they're but you want to order them. If you're going to do more than 4 or 5, you should order them in advance so they can be ready for you because they have runs on their product all the time.
And so another thing that are hot dips, and Bob and I use a cast iron to cook in a tremendous amount of the time. Bob has a wall of cast iron in his home, and it's right adjacent to the kitchen. And it's literally, there's 8 or 10 cast iron pans hanging on hooks there. And I know they're used on a daily basis in his kitchen. And I do too. Ours set on top of our stove. And heating something up, a dip, some sort of a buffalo chicken dip or whatever you want, heat it up and then bring it to the tailgate. It'll stay hot for an hour. A dip will like that. If you take it out of the oven and put it in some sort of insulated carrier, whatever you have, even wrap it in a towel and put it in a cooler.
Put a lid on it first.
Yeah, right. Put a lid on it and some tin foil. Wrap it in a towel and
throw
it in
the cooler. Done that a bunch of times.
Right. Then it'll be hot when you get to your tailgate. It's amazing how that cast iron holds heat. Mm-hmm. And then you got warm dips that are ready to go. Same thing with sandwiches. You know, you can take sandwiches out of the oven.
One of my favorites is the Parmesan artichoke dip.
Yeah, you're on artichoke-y.
Yeah. Yeah. And a Sobe makes a beautiful one.
Yep.
So I'll buy a couple of his big tubs, and I'll put it in a big pan, and I'll add some more ingredients, top it with some fresh parm and mozzarella, and it's so good. People, you're right. You put a box of Triscuits out there.
Right.
And some, wheat thins or whatever,
right.
Whatever people like, pretzels, nacho chips. Yeah, that'll be the first thing to go. Yep. The seagulls just come flying in on
it. They're from everywhere. Hey, I can smell your dip from 3 tailgates away. Yeah.
Tell you another nice thing for weekend camp food is just some sort of a loin. Because you can take beef loin, pork loin, not chicken loin, that's a phony thing. It doesn't exist.
Right.
But you can get a spit and put it on your fire and just rotate it every 10, 15 minutes and let it sit next to your fire and have a slow cook. And that is a wonderful, for one thing, everybody keeps looking at it. So you're building that anticipation, right? And then they're bugging you. Is it done? Is it done? And that's when you know that your effort was worthwhile is when they're anticipating the deliciousness.
So with regard to that, that doesn't necessarily have to be hot when you bring it to the tailgate.
This is not a tailgate food. I'm sorry. I was talking about just fall outdoor cooks.
Okay.
No, you're not going to have a spit and a fire at a tailgate. You've got too many people drinking and walking around.
Right.
You'll end up.
but you could potentially smoke a pork loin, not the tenderloin, but the whole loin, the one the size of a softball.
Yeah.
Smoke that and then cool it back down and cut it thin and make little sandwiches or put that on toast points or crackers or
Absolutely.
Whatever. But a great flavor profile, and that's an inexpensive one. Pork loin is one of your best values
always
in meat, then, and it's just fabulous. But don't overcook it. Just go to 140 degrees center temperature, and you'll be fine. It'll be done, and it'll be wonderful.
This is kind of overkill, but a corn on the cob, several ways to do it on a grill, on a fire, whatever, but that is still something people absolutely love to eat mm-hmm. at a get-together. There's just something thrilling about grabbing that stock and peeling back the husk and biting into it, slathering it in butter. And if you leave the husk on it and the stem, you can literally shuck it back, dip it in butter, and put it on a plate and just have a mountain of it and just
right.
keep rolling it out.
Right.
But that grills up nicely if you just grill it with the husk on it.
Right.
It's pretty nice.
Little tip on that butter, okay? Get yourself a taller pot and fill it about a halfway with water, and then put a couple sticks of butter in there and melt the butter. It'll stay on top of the water, and you don't need to make a whole thing because you want to dip that ear of corn in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes down into water, it doesn't matter because as it comes out, it grabs the butter. But you don't need a big, deep pot of butter then. That's all. Just a little grilling cook.
There you go.
Yeah, anyway, that was your tip of the day from the grilling guys. Stick with us. We got one more segment. We'll be back. This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Hey, thanks for tuning in this week. We're almost in the middle of September already. Holy cow, this month is going fast, but... You know what? There's a little snap in the air, and we're waking up to some high 40s mornings, and that just means fall's right around the corner if it's not already here. And we've been doing a lot of stuff about fall outdoor cooking.
Yeah, and you know, I brought up the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. Well, a couple of weeks ago, something very similar happened in a little island that I love called Maui, and there's something weird going on there. There's thousands of people reported missing, but the government came in, the state or some, I don't know what agency, they've walled it all up. They won't let anybody in. The press is getting no information on. They're sticking with the number of 150 dead. It's not right. It's not right because when I used to fly over there, I lived on Oahu, and I'd rent a plane and fly around with my buddies because that's what Air Force guys do. I used to fly to Maui and go up to Haleakala and places like that. And you'd fly over Lanai. Lanai was nothing but really pineapple
Lahaina,
fields.
You mean?
No, Lanai.
Lanai.
It's the island. There's okay. Lanai and Molokai between Maui and
okay,
Oahu.
So an island, yeah.
They reported like 150 to 180 bodies washing up on Lanai. It's not in the news. And the people are so mad over there because there's nobody reporting on it and they're not getting answers. So do not let this thing off the hook. If you have any friends over there, if you have ways to support those people, there's a lot of human suffering. We're talking at least 200 kids did not show up for school, and there's no official word as to where they are. So that's, there's something very nefarious in this thing. Very nefarious. Anyway, I don't want to forget the people of Hawaii.
Okay. So back to Michigan, back to out gear, in your backyard.
Gear to hike with.
Right. So, okay. I'm not a hiker, right? I found a sign this summer when I was up in the tourist area in northern Michigan a few weeks ago. That it, you know how you get the number, like the 26.2, they'll yeah. stick on the back? I found 0.0, and it says, I don't run underneath it. And I'm like, okay, that's me. I'm not a runner. So that one's on my beer fridge now. But well, I know there's a lot of people that are due. That,
hiking, is, it can be really fun, and if you have somebody with you that wants to do it.
Right.
It's a 2 to 4 to 8 person thing, and you have to enjoy walking out in the wilderness.
Right.
We're talking about Hawaii. When I lived there, we used to fly over to Kauai, which is the furthest west in the chain, a gorgeous island. And there's a place called the Napali Coast there. It's where they film King Kong. When you okay. see those sheer cliffs,
yeah,
that's Napali. And I took lots of people over there and hiked that trail. If you go the full trail, it's 11 miles, and it's up and down mountains. It's rigorous. If you go to the first spot in, it's 2 miles. And the first time in, that's all you need to do. But when you get back on that last 9 miles, just be prepared because you don't know. At the time I was there, there were people that had gone there after the Vietnam War and did not come back. They just walk around out there. They're living off the fruits, and they're skinny, and they're clothingless. Yeah. So you're walking up, and you'll see some bearded guy walk. I used to take my girlfriend over there. It's like, okay, don't look below his eyes. Don't look below his eyes. Yeah. Because they're literally naked on the trail. Anyway, I digress.
You did.
Gear for hiking, I don't know. There's all sorts of really cool stuff. If you look on these marketplaces, I know social media platforms have, for some reason right now, all sorts of these different little, and maybe it's just my profile, they're hitting me because they know I like that stuff, but there's lots of cool little fire pits you can break down. There's these camp cook kits that fold up like the old Boy Scout rigs used to do, you know, where you had everything collapsing into one piece. And if you're going to hike, you know, there's some neat products like that that are not terribly expensive that you can throw in your backpack.
Little propane heaters that can heat up your dehydrated food with a little, if you're carrying, you know, a little bit of water, you mix it in and then cook it up in a little cup, a pot, or whatever you got carrying with you.
Yeah.
That those make great little.
I just found another one last night that was like that. It's a brand new one, and it looks like a giant, like a Yeti cup, but it's got this little burner on the bottom.
Yep.
And it boils your water in like 30, 60 seconds.
Yeah.
You got it. And then you just take the burner off and you got your cup.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, don't set it on your leg though. Probably pretty hot.
Thank you. How about gear for a backyard pit?
You know, there's a lot
of in town, so you don't really use a backyard pit.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by a backyard pit?
I mean, where you burn wood.
Oh.
You know, a fire pit.
Yeah.
Because that is a huge, huge product these days. If you go to any of the big box stores, they sell kits where you buy the metal ring and all the right number of landscape blocks, and you can even get the pavers under it or whatever. But people want a fire pit in their backyard.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to be able to cook over them. And there's some cool accessories that they make. And you can actually get the liner for your pit and the brick and all that stuff from one place. But they also have those liners that have a slot in the side or a sleeve, and then these various apparatuses slide down in it. So if you want a grate,
something you swing over the fire.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And there's this one I see that it's just a big rod, and it's got several different things that you swing over, and you only swing the one over the fire that you're using.
Right. They're like stacked on that rod, and they pivot around.
Very
over
cool.
The phone,
very cool.
Over the fire.
One's
yeah.
just a hook that'll hold your Dutch oven.
Yep.
Had to say it.
Yeah, and the thing is with those is that you don't generally cook over the fire. You cook over the coals.
Yeah, or
on most of those.
Or it depends on the age of your fire. If you're just getting going, you might be hungry and in a hurry, and you might have to deal with some flames.
Right.
There's where your height adjustment comes in handy.
Yeah, yep.
But bring mitts. I'm telling you, that metal gets hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it gets really hot, and it's just one more thing to carry. But if you're in your backyard, then you just have them there.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And welding gloves if you don't have, because sometimes the mitts are a little bit chintzy if you don't buy good ones, and
right.
then they burn through. And the last thing you want to do is find out in 10 seconds when you got a 15-second carry that this is too hot for my hand.
And all these big box stores have these. You notice now there's a huge assortment of rubber bins, these big tubs, plastic tubs, all every different size you could ever want. And those, like the 13, is it the 23-gallon, I think sells for about $13. That's a heck of a deal. The black with the yellow lid, heck of a deal. American-made product. Get a few of those because when you're not using them, you can stack them up. But when you are using them, like if you have a fire pit area, it's nice just to keep one out there with all your stuff in it so that the rain stays off it, the leaves, the dirt, the bugs, all that stuff. It's kind of nice to have. You could do something fancier if you wanted, but those are very handy. I have a gray one next to my hot tub for all my chemicals. It matches the tub. It's the only time important. I give a crap.
That's important that your tub matches your tub. Yeah. Wow.
You call me Tubby.
All right.
Tripods are really nice, too.
Yeah?
Tripod's a great thing to have because, like...
So what is that? That's just Dutch three sticks that come together and you hang something down onto the fire or above it.
My Dutch oven came with one. If you get the big Lodge, it comes with a tripod. It's pricey. But then there are also just tripods with a grate on them, like that fellow from Muskegon made and gave us.
Yeah, so that just hangs down off three chains or one chain, and then it goes three ways, and it kind of like swings over the fire if you could, but with something on it, it just sits there.
Right,
but it's and you can raise and lower it to get it closer to the fire or not. Yeah,
yeah, very handy.
Yeah,
and I'll use one now at deer camp. Ted's dad made us these. It's basically sucker rod, re-rod. They're metal rods that go in the ground, and then he bent a tubular, like a one-inch square tubular frame so that it's got like a leg and then a 90-degree bend. It goes over and then a 90-degree bend down. And so you've got this long bar, and you put the pin down in spot for each one, and then you do another one across from it. And then we have this stainless steel grate that goes over the top. So when it's time to cook, you just throw the grate on.
Okay,
so you
I see what you're saying.
Your fire dwindle down. You got all
those for the grate, yeah.
And that works really nice, really nice. That's very handy just to have a rack like that. There's a million ways you can
cook on a fire. A lot of times you cook next to the fire, too. You'll pull some coals away.
Yep.
And that's a great Dutch oven technique.
And you need a shovel when you're doing that.
Right, yep. And dig a little hole and throw some coals in there and then set your Dutch oven on it. And then maybe put a few more on top of it. But it's not in the fire. It's beside the fire. Sitting on some coals or maybe some coals on the top of the Dutch oven.
Well, last weekend, you know, I went up to Torch Lake. Our friends have a cabin, cottage with acreage between Torch and Elk, and used that method with the Dutch oven.
Yeah, turned out good.
Wonderful.
What'd you make in it?
Goodness.
Goodness, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy in your neighborhood. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.